Well, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to all of our Cascades family joining all over Vancouver. Merry Christmas to those joining us maybe for the first or second time. You found us online somehow and you're with us. We're just so glad to have you here. My name's Alex, if you don't know me. I'm the pastor of Cascades. And if you're watching this right now, you know something happened. And I'm not talking about 2020. 2020 has been an eventful year, a difficult, painful, and even tragic year. Christmas is what I'm talking about. We know something's happened, and this Christmas looks really different. There's no big gatherings. You're not gathered in the church with us here. You are in your home. Many people we know have either had to quarantine or had to go get tested. People have been sick. It's been a totally different year. And yet, some things have been just a little different. For example, maybe you would normally be praying for a parking spot near the mall entrance on the 22nd or 23rd of December, but now you're praying that nobody parks near you. Or you're praying that your package arrives in time because you waited until the last minute to get it. In other ways, some things haven't changed at all. Some of the things that we do every year, we're doing it again. I wonder what yours are. If you're watching on our online platform, I encourage you to maybe share some of the Christmassy things you do. This might be watching Hallmark movies. I won't judge you if that's you. Maybe it's watching Star Wars movies, all nine of them. Maybe it's watching The Mandalorian and Little Baby Yoda, or The Lord of the Rings Extended Edition. Maybe it's watching The Grinch, but watching it with Benedict Cumberbatch. I don't know what it is for you. Maybe it's not even movies. It could be music with Mariah Carey. That's just all day, every day at your home. Maybe it's listening to Feliz Navidad, Jose Feliciano's version of it, or Bobby Helms' Jingle Bell Rock. All these are songs that have been getting my boys into this Christmas season. You know, but outside of music, one of the things that really tells us it's this Christmas season is lights. Lights on trees, lights on homes. And this year, a bunch of us put lights up really early, did we not? I'm talking about like not, you know, November 30th, but like November 1st. You've been going to light shows in your car because of all the changes we've been going through. Lights, though, really make a lot of sense at Christmas because Christmas arrives on the darkest time of the year for the Mediterranean and Europe, where Christmas celebrations first developed. But lights aren't just decorations. They're symbolic of something deeper, something more, something spiritual that needs to be dealt with. And that's why we're watching. And that's what this is about. The light shines in the darkness, we read. And the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world and he made the world. But the world did not recognize him. You see, in the Bible, darkness refers to ignorance and evil. God is light. And by him, you see things as they truly are and know the way forward. Now, maybe you're watching this because your mom asked you to watch it or someone shared it with you. And maybe you're from another religion or you don't have any religion at all. And maybe you're feeling like, this isn't really for me. I'm not really a churchy person and I don't know, you know, how this even relates to me. My beliefs and experiences are different. Well, here's what you need to know. The shepherds that the angel comes to, they were outsiders. They weren't insiders. They were on the margin. They weren't important people. They didn't know everything. They weren't connected in that way. And yet, they are the first people that the light comes to. They weren't wealthy, religious, or extra smart. See, the light comes into the world, and the place where the light is born and grows up is not a place that is significant. No, the light comes to these people who are broken, who have made mistakes, who are sinful, who have lived on the margin, people just like you and me. And that light is God, who invites us to be with him, to believe in him. And see, that's what's different about the Christmas story. That's what's different about Christianity. It says that God came to us to be with us. That's the Advent story. Advent comes from the Latin word adventus, which means the coming or the arrival. Advent is about God coming to us in Jesus. You see, in matters of love, God chooses to come to us himself. He doesn't send a messenger. He doesn't send somebody else. No, he says, I'm coming. I'm going to communicate and express my love to you. He loves us, and he invites us to know him. And we don't have to have our lives all together or know everything before that happens. And see, this is so contrary to the ideas of our time and our culture. See, one of the ideas you'll hear is that desire is actually the problem. And you need to extinguish desire before you can ever experience peace or nirvana. You need to remove desire. Others will say that the light is actually already in you. You need to discover it because it's been hidden, so you need to learn to unleash it. And yet others will say, no, before you can ever come to the light, before God will love you and save you, you need to become this burning, passionate flame that shines for him. You got to clean up your life and impress him. Then and only then will God say, great, now I can love you. But Christmas tells us that that story is wrong, that those ideas are wrong. It totally undercuts that. The gospel writer says that the light comes to the world from outside. It's a light that comes from outside of us, not inside of us. But this light is for us. This is the light of all mankind. It's the light that gives life to all people. And Jesus is that light. You see, while we were living in the dark, while we were outsiders, while we were a mess and sinful, God came to us. Christmas undercuts the way that we think and behave, which says that you got to earn it. You got to discover it. You got to extinguish and deal with all those bad desires before you can experience the hope, the peace, the love, and the joy. And even if you are not a Christian, you can still know this Christmas story because we've been around it for so long. Christmas celebrates the birth of Jesus, that God has come. And many of you know that even if you don't believe in it. You might have done it as a kind of Christmas pageant at school or a play at your church as a kid or something. You might have been a shepherd or Joseph or special honor of being baby Jesus. Maybe you're just one of the wise guys or one of the sheep. I don't know. But even if you know the story, it doesn't mean you know why the story matters, the deeper reason, because it isn't talked about. Why would God, who made our world, ever come into it? Well, right in the middle of our story, we are told that an angel comes to these shepherds and says, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. So far, so good, right? Then he says, today in the town of David, and you're like, okay, cool. A savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Savior born to you means this. You can't save yourself. It means you need saving. It means you are living in the dark. This Savior is Messiah. Messiah is this anointed one. It means the King. The King who isn't just King over the tiny little itty-bitty group. No, this is King over the universe, over all of the earth, over all of life. And this is where things become offensive. This is where things become, I don't know if I really like this. How is this really good news, some of you might feel like. But here's what I'd say. We know that we need saving. We know that things in our heart, they're not 100% right. And we often minimize it by saying maybe this person is we're not as bad as them. And even if we know it, we're ignorant about how to fix it. But we know something's off. And if there was ever a year to show us our own brokenness, our own need for saving, it's got to be 2020. At least it's got to be right up there. See, 2020 has exposed the brokenness in us and all around us. It's exposed how prevalent racism still is and how subtle it is, how defensive we are about it. Even this past month, a report came out that said that the common experience for First Nations people as they go to get health care is to experience discrimination. George Floyd's death down south of us sparked protests all over the world and really pushed this issue to the forefront of our minds. 2020 highlighted how strong and deep political divisions run between people, on the left, on the right, and even in the middle. It's pushed people to embrace and promote conspiracy theories all over our social media. And it's further isolated and pushed people apart. This year has revealed how deep greed and fear can run in some of us who have hoarded food, cleaning supplies, and even toilet paper. It's been a year of financial ruin for some of us and unemployment. Even in our church, some of us are dealing with that. This pandemic has impacted so many different things of our lives, the way we interact with and communicate with people. And it's into this that the Christmas story says that God comes to us, that the hope, the love, the joy that we long for comes to us. And it's not found by looking inside of ourselves or extinguishing desires or lowering expectations. No, it comes to us and says, you cannot do it on your own. You cannot solve this on your own. You cannot earn this. The light's not in you. That's why I, Jesus, had to come as a baby and come into this world, because I am the light. I had to do this because there was nothing you could do to actually save yourself. See, we know we're broken. We know that we're fractured, that we're dissatisfied. The problem is that we've looked to ourselves, to others, or other things. But Christmas comes along and says, no, you can't save yourself. That's why I had to come into this world. And so the question becomes, how did Jesus, the light, save us? Well, the good news that brings great joy for anyone and everyone who will receive it is this, is that that baby, Jesus, that is born in the town of David, he doesn't stay a baby. He grows up and lives a perfect life, and this baby is tragically killed and crucified on a cross. This baby grows up and goes to a cross because he offends religious people. When Jesus went to the cross, he paid the penalty for our sin, our darkness, because we cannot pay for it on our own. When Jesus died on the cross, darkness fell over all of the land. The light of the world descended into darkness in order to bring us into God's beautiful light. See, this promise of Christmas, it cannot be discerned unless you and I first admit that we cannot save ourselves or even know ourselves without the light of Jesus' unmerited grace in our life. He earned it. That's what was happening on the cross. He died for our sins instead of us, because of us. And this is why Christmas matters. This is why we rejoice and we celebrate. It's because Christmas leads us to the cross. Jesus doesn't just stay a little baby. He grows and moves into a place where he can actually earn our salvation. Jesus becomes our hope. He shows us that we can have an absolute expectation of future good because he faced evil, human rebellion, and death. He took on the worst things, and God uses it all for good. The darkness did not overcome the light. Jesus makes peace with us and God so that we can have peace with ourselves and one another. We can become peacemakers. See, the Bible refers to peace as this idea of wholeness, of completion. Nothing is missing or lacking. And God's plan through Jesus is to restore the world one person at a time. Jesus is joy incarnate, and joy draws near to us, joy that existed way before all of creation, between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Joy draws near to us and invites us into the circle of his joy. And all of this is because God loves us. God had a bad case of the loves. And we're told that God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that anybody who believed in him wouldn't perish but have life, and life to the full, eternal life. He was willing to experience suffering and pain so that we could have his life. Jesus has come. He has begun to deal with our brokenness in our place. He took it on himself. And in the moment where he died, and took and paid the consequences, death and darkness and evil started to become slowly undone. Their power shifted. And now, so what do we do with all of this? We come to him. Because Christ has come to us, we come to him. That's the Christmas invitation, is that we come to him. These shepherds, when they hear that the Messiah has come, they hurry off to find Jesus. Wherever you are right now, whether you're a longtime follower of Jesus, or you're a new follower of Jesus, or you're not even a follower of Jesus, the invitation is the same. Come to him. Come to him. The shepherds, these outsiders, Look at the movement in their life in the span of a night. They go from people who are on the fringe to becoming part of God's people. These are people who do not know the Christ. They come before him. They see him. They see all that what they were told by the angel be true, and they leave and they share it with others. They cannot withhold this good news. It's just so amazing. And I recognize this, that idea of coming to him if you're not a follower of Jesus is hard. But the invitation is there for you too. And it requires you swallowing your pride. Sometimes when we receive gifts, some gifts are really hard to receive. Say someone gave you a stick of deodorant with a post-it note, use it. How would you feel? Or what if someone gives you a book that says, is titled, you know, How to Keep Your Foot Out of Your Mouth Daily? Or Overcoming Selfishness? Or How to Be Patient? None of these are books you would necessarily say, oh my gosh, I always wanted this. But maybe we do need something like that. See, there's never been a gift offered to us that makes us swallow our pride to the level that the gift of Jesus Christ requires us to do. Christmas means that we're so lost, so unable to save ourselves, that nothing less than the death of the Son of God himself could save us. And this means we're not someone who can, you and me, you're not someone who can pull ourselves up and live a good and moral life and figure it all out on our own. But here's the promise from Jesus himself. He says, are you tired? Are you worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of life. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and light. You see, the way that you accept this gift is by coming to Jesus and trusting in him. You stop trusting in yourself or in other things or other people, and you start trusting him. You look to him. One of Jesus' most influential followers was Paul. And he wrote this in one of his letters, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You have access to his joy, his peace, his hope, and love, if and only when you trust in him. You become part of his family. You become a child of God, a child of light, when you come to him and you trust in him. And so here is where you can apply this right now, where you are, in your home. Come to him. This is Christmas Eve. We celebrate that God has come to us. So now come to him. You can come to him. We're going to be singing some songs in just a little bit. Sing to him. Sing to him. Rejoice that he's come, that he hasn't abandoned us, but he's come to rescue and renew us and his creation. Pray to him. Share the story of what he's done with your family. Those are two ways you can respond. The ways you can come to him this Christmas season is to come to him in song tonight and to pray. To pray. Say, I want to trust you more. I want to come to you more. I want to live the life that you came to give me. That's the invitation that we're given. Father in heaven, I want to just give you thanks for giving us this amazing gift of your son Jesus, that you sent him and he willingly came and he lived the life we couldn't live, and he laid down his life for us so that we could have life in fullness. We could be filled with hope and joy and peace and love by the power of your Spirit. And wherever anyone who's watching this is, I, Lord, I ask that you would draw near to them in this moment, that they would see how you've already drawn near to them, and now draw them to yourself so that they can have the life that you want for them. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to us. Now we want to come to you. We want to celebrate that you've come. And we pray this in your name. Amen.